My name is Vicente Luque, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, welcome back for another action-packed episode of MMA Wreckage Radio. This is episode 38. For those of you keeping track at home, we have Casey Kinney, who's taking on Manny Bermudez at UFC 241. Also from Titan FC, we have Shaheen Santana stopping by. Going to be talking about another great lightweight performance he's going to be putting on. The guy is unbelievable. Every single one of his fights have been finished within the first round or the second round. The last fight went to the second round. He finished the guy. He submitted every single person he's faced. He's going to be in the rise here very soon. Keep an eye on Shaheen Santana, let me tell you. This last weekend, we had some very, very good fights, man. How excited were you about the Uruguay card?
I was very excited about the co-main event, like everybody else. But for the main event, I wasn't really.
The main event was a little bit of a snoozer. I will give you that one for sure.
Yeah, but overall, it was a good card. Overall, I would say it was a good card.
Overall, it was definitely a good card. Now, we have to look forward to UFC 241. That thing is stacked from top to bottom. Super excited about that one. Looking forward to all the amazing fights that we have in front of us. But as always, me and Wally Wall are here to break down the latest and greatest. Man, I mean, some crazy shit has been going on in the world of MMA. Do you see Triple C is calling out Valentina Shevchenko for that intergender title?
Yeah, so it's a joke because everybody's saying that she should fight against him, and you know. And because he's Captain Cringe, he will say that he's going to fight against her, but come on. The crazy thing that happened is Conor McGregor punching an old guy in a bar. That's the crazy thing
Man,
that happened.
Man, Conor cannot stay out of the fucking publicity. Yeah. It's all for the wrong reasons at this point in his career. Every time I turn around, I feel like he's going through the John Jones stage of his career right now, just downfall, downfall, downfall. Hopefully we get a potential rise here coming soon, but I don't know, man. It's getting a little ridiculous. I mean, he punched an old man in a bar. I don't know what the words were said, but Dana came out and said to himself, like, bro, you're not normal. You can't be doing that shit.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, I will try to defend him. You know, some Irish old guys can beat pricks in bars, so I don't know. Maybe he was a prick.
Maybe, you never know, but I mean, still, you're Conor McGregor, you're a world-class athlete, you shouldn't be hitting an old-ass man with the left.
Yeah, you shouldn't even be in a bar.
Put out the deadliest featherweight of all time.
Yeah, you shouldn't even be at a bar in the middle of the afternoon. I felt like it was still, I don't know, the video looked like it's the middle of the afternoon. Like, an athlete shouldn't be in the bar like that.
Well, also, too, where was the bodyguards? Where was McGregor's bodyguards? Like, they're in place to help. They're not in place to protect him from other people. Sorry, that's exactly what they're in place for, is to protect him from other people, not protect other people from him.
Yeah, they were there because when he punched him, there's a big guy who pushed him like.
He should have never let that get to that situation. He should have got in between them way before it ever happened.
But come on, Conor is a lunatic, so you know that you can't always.
Conor's
figure
a fucking madman.
Yeah. Who like if you were his bodyguard, you would say that he's going to punch an old guy. Come on.
At this point, bro, if I was Conor's bodyguard, I would be willing to expect anything.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe. I don't know.
But
Do you have other news to talk about?
Not at this point in time. I mean, Kat Sagano got cut. That's a fucking big one.
Yeah. Didn't John Jones fucked up again?
No. That was all cleared up. He's good at this point. I mean, so far. Okay. And why you gotta jinx us, bro? Why you gotta even speak that into existence? You know how John Jones is, man. All you gotta do is talk about it. It's like Beetlejuice. Say it three times and he's gonna fuck up.
Yeah, I know. Just, you know, just wanted to clear it that he's all clear right now that the man didn't, you know, because it was all bullshit.
As of right now, everything is fine. If we get more news, obviously we'll keep you guys updated. Stay tuned for our station identification. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? Hubert Burns right here, and you're listening to the MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, joining me at this time, Wally Wall is going to be breaking down UFC Fight Night Uruguay. That is Valentina Shevchenko versus Liz Carmouche. Valentina Shevchenko walked into Uruguay as the women's flyweight queen, and she walked out that exact same way, pretty much seemed unscathed. We'll get into that fight a little bit later. We're going to the very first fight of the night. Also in the women's flyweight division, Veronica Mercado made her name known in the flyweight division by a beautiful first round armbar of Pollyanna Viana. It was 1:09 into the fight. I believe she won in a bonus for her performance. It was one of the best, obviously, fights of the night. It was quick, easy, simple, to the point. She went in there, she put it on her opponent, and she won herself 50 extra G's.
Yeah, and if I'm not wrong, it was the first of the three submission we got in that card, right?
Yes, it was first of three, and that was also her very first UFC fight.
Yeah, so that's good. Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. In the men's lightweight division, Alex De Silva Coelho defeated Rogério Vargas by unanimous decision, 30-27 across all three judges. It was all one-sided, obviously, like the judges pointed out. Alex De Silva just went in there and put it on Rogério.
Yeah, it was an easy fight to judge because it was a clear unanimous decision for me.
Now, this one right here was a split decision. I don't know if you agree with it or not, Wally Watt. We'll get your opinion here in a second. But Chris Gutierrez defeated Geraldo De Freitas by split decision. I thought it could have went the other way to Geraldo. Some people gave it to Chris. How did you see the fight playing out?
Personally, I thought that Chris Gutierrez won the fight. But, you know, this wasn't really a clear decision, so I see how it was a split decision, but at the end of the day, I think the judges got it right with giving Chris Gutierrez the W.
Now, another one that wasn't the judges, but the doctor came in and stopped it. Rogério Bontori had a huge cut on his forehead, and obviously was no longer able to compete. So the victor, oh, sorry. Raulinho Pavio Fazili had the big cut on his forehead. Rogério Bontori, he got the victory. How do you feel about the doctor stoppage? Do you feel like they could have let the fight keep going? I mean, the cut, it was pretty fucking big. As you've seen the ones on, if you've seen any of the pictures on the internet, he opens it up. You could probably put your finger in the eye. No joke. You could probably easily put your whole finger in the dude's eye.
Yeah, the cut was big. I think the doctors got it right. But, you know, do you think that, you know, losing by a doctor stoppage is the most frustrating loss possible?
It depends. It depends on how it happens. I mean, I think disqualification would be the most frustrating. You know what I'm saying? For sure. But I understand where your question is, definitely. It would have to be depending on the circumstances. Like this one where Raulinho's eye was, I mean, like I said, you could put your finger in the cut and it was right at his eyelid, right at the eyebrow. So, I mean, the cut was just, the blood was just rushing into his eye at that point. What else are you going to do?
No, of course, the doctor is right, but the fighter, you know, the fighter will always want to continue fighting. So,
they're warriors, man. They're warriors. Yeah. Another one-sided performance. Women's strawweight division. Mariana Rodriguez proved to be way too much for Ticia Torres. She beat her by unanimous decision. Two judges had it 30-27. Another judge actually had it 30-26. I definitely agree. It was very one-sided. Mariana proved that she is a very well-rounded mixed martial artist. She proved it on the feet and taking Ticia Torres down and being able to control her on the ground really proved that she is a threat in this women's strawweight division.
Yeah, those divisions, those female divisions are really getting stacked right now. I feel that we are reaching a new level in the female MMA. What do you think?
Oh, definitely, man. Female MMA at this point. I mean, even with all the joking aside, I really think Valentina Shevchenko could give Henry Cejudo a run for his money.
Come on. It's the same shit that Joe Rogan said when he said that Ronda Rousey can beat Floyd Mayweather. Once Shevchenko's going to lose, everybody will say, yeah, we fucked up. Yeah, she wasn't that good. Yeah, she was overrated. You know how it goes.
Do you think Amanda Nunes could beat some of the guys right now?
No. It's not the same thing. Come on, man. You know that Cejudo can take her down and just choke her. Come on.
He's got to be able to get on the inside. If we start talking about this shit, we'll go off into a 3-hour long tangent. All right, let's get back to the card. Cyril Gane, your French brother, went out there and proved that he is a heavyweight to be reckoned with by submitting Rafael Pessoa Nunes in the very first round, 4 minutes and 12 seconds into the very first round. Cyril really proved that he is a threat in this heavyweight division. And, I mean, I know you were super excited because he is your French brother.
So first, his name is Cyril, not Cyril, okay?
You're fucking French.
No, because they are pussies and that's how they pronounce it.
Cyril.
You pronounce it like his name was from a country when they raise men. And that's not how it is, okay? First. Second, I'm not French. You need to stop with that, okay? And third, yes, it was a pretty submission. It was a pretty arm triangle, and, you know, he deserved the win. And congratulations to him. Yeah, it was beautiful.
How far does he train from your house in France? Because, you know, you live in France because you're French.
Yeah, so he trained. I think you told me that he trained with Francis Ngannou, right?
Yes.
So it's in Paris, so yeah, it's like it's not very near from where I am right now.
Well, goddamn. Let me tell you what, one man that definitely gave me a run for my money, and I definitely expected him to do such those things, Gilbert Burns went out there and put it to Alexei Konchenko. Me and Gilbert talked about that dude's last name for like an hour trying to figure that shit out.
Yeah, Konchenko. Yeah, you're right. You said it perfectly, Konchenko.
Thanks, Gilbert Burns, on that one. But he went in there and he told me that he was going to take him down. We didn't talk about it a whole lot in the actual interview itself because he didn't want to get into it. But that was his game plan. He said, I really feel like I can hold this guy down. I feel like I can imply my will on the ground on him, and that's exactly what he did. He went out there, got the unanimous decision, 29-28, all three scored his scorecards. Gilbert Burns makes his very first attempt at the welterweight division and looks very good at doing it by defeating an undefeated Alexei Konchenko.
Yeah, listen, to climb the ladder in the rankings, I think that's the most safe way to do it is to take people down, hold them, you know, ground and pound some at some point. If there's an opportunity, go for it for the submission or, you know, for the mount and just punch. But that's the safe way to do it. And that's why people like Khabib, GSP, Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington right now are going far in the MMA world. So I think that's the way they should do it. And it was a perfect game plan and it worked.
Well, he knew that he was going to have a lot of strength going into that division because he knew how much he had to drain himself to make 155. He even talked about it. Like, he took 10 hot baths before his last fight just to make 155. Like, that's ridiculous. So him actually now fighting at a more healthier weight class, he looked good, and he was able to transition the actual strength that he has into this weight class. The thing about it,
that's the way to do it,
is he's a black belt, so he's not just sitting there. You know, he could end you at any point in time if you just make the wrong move.
Yeah, but come on, we saw some black belts getting choked, you know. So yeah, you take them to the ground, but you know, you don't pass guard easily. At this point of MMA, everyone at least is a purple belt or a brown belt in those divisions. So it's not that easy to, you know, to go for the finish.
No, definitely. And that was the main event for the prelim portion of UFC Grigoi. The main card got kicked off by Enrique Barnzolo defeating Bobby Muffet by split decision. I didn't actually catch this card. I was running to Walmart. Sorry, guys. Don't shoot me. What'd you think about the very first fight of the night?
I would say that was, for me, I think that the judges were right in this fight, too. I think that Barzola won the fight. It was a good fight. It was a good way to... It was the first one, the first fight of the main card, right? Or was it the main event of the...
Yes, the main fight. The very first fight of the main card.
Yeah, it was a good way to start the main card, I feel. And yeah, it was a good fight. And the decision the judges didn't went wrong.
Definitely. Well, the next couple of fights, they didn't need no judges for these ones at all. Rodolfo Vieira got a beautiful arm triangle choke on Oscar Paichota in the second round, 4 minutes and 26 seconds into that round. It was beautiful. But Volkan Ozdemir said, hold my beer, and he went out there and he knocked out Mir Latifi in the second round, 4 minutes and 31 seconds into that round, and he looked phenomenal doing it, definitely showing that no time is back, and it took him a little time this time,
yeah,
but he is
definitely back. I think he should take his time, you know, because I think he took his time to the no time shit. It wasn't really the way to do it. I think that taking his time, try to go for the finish when the opportunity came, and yeah, it was a great game plan. But where do you feel that Ozdemir right now is in the light heavyweight division?
I would like to see him get the loser of Johnny Walker versus Corey Anderson.
Why not the winner?
Because I think the winner is destined for that number one contender spot.
Oh, okay. So you want the winner to fight against John Jones?
Yes.
Or fight for the opportunity to fight against
John Jones?
Oh, okay. I like it.
Outside of Jan, I don't really see anybody else. But I mean, Corey Anderson for sure. I definitely deserves it.
Yeah, Corey Anderson deserves it. But Johnny Walker, yeah, stylistically, you know, it will be a great fight against John Jones.
Definitely. Another great fight. Luis Eduardo Garagoli defeated Humberto Baendias by unanimous decision, 30-27 throughout all three judges' scorecards. Luis Garagoli just really proved that he is a flyweight to be fucking reckoned with, and he put it on his opponent tonight. Or Saturday.
Yeah. Like you said, it was a clear, unanimous decision. It was 30-27 for me. Like, it was obvious he deserved the win, and congratulations to him.
Now, one that might not have been so obvious for anybody else, Vicente Luque actually defeated Mike Perry, though, by split decision. I thought it was a great back-and-forth fight. Easily could be fight of the year. Definitely one fight of the night, hands down. Was one of the better performances we've seen in a long time. What do you think with the outcome of the fight, though? I personally was really worried for Luque before they read the judges' scorecards.
Yeah, because it wasn't clear. But listen, for me, it was Mike Perry won the fight, but I kind of understand the judges if they go with Vicente Luque. So
yes.
I see that point.
I understand the split decision.
Yeah, I understand. But I feel that both fighters were winners after this fight, because Mike Perry, everybody right now respect the dude, are fan of the dude.
Dude, his nose was one of the most gruesome MMA injuries I've ever seen.
Yeah, and he continued fighting, putting pressure on Vicente Luque. And listen, Mike Perry, it's not the best Mike Perry we saw in the cage. He's still progressing. No, he's still learning.
Yeah.
He's still learning his shit. And he's a fan, and he wants to learn. That's what I like about him. That's why I'm a fan of him. And that's why at one of the first episodes I did with you in this podcast, I said that I feel that at some point Mike Perry will fight for the belt. Because guys like him, like Cowboy, people love them, and people will push for them to get better chances. And you will see. Mike Perry, he will get far. He will go some places. You will see. I really feel that the guy can do it all.
No, definitely. At first, though, I think we got Vicente Luque in his way. He obviously came out victorious tonight. He's on a huge, well, I believe he's won 10 of his last 11. I believe he's now on a 7-fight win streak.
Yeah.
Dude's fucking killing it. He's won his last 3 appearances that he's been on MMA Records Radio. He's won all 3 of those fights. I'm just saying.
With the welterweight division, you know, we already have the next fight, which is Usman against Colby. What do you want? Where do you want to see Vicente go? Like, who do you want him to face?
Edwards does not get an opportunity to fight Darren Till or Jorge Masvidal, I would like to see him fight Vicente Luque, or I would like to see Masvidal fight Vicente Luque.
Where the fuck is Santiago Ponzanibio? Where the fuck is he?
Bro, I've been asking that same question for now like a fucking year and a half, I feel like.
Because he's a legit welterweight contender.
Yes, he's on a very nice win streak, but where the fuck has he been?
And he won against Mike Perry. I remember him winning against Mike Perry and very dangerous. He won against Neil Magny too. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
I can't accommodate for somebody who's not here.
Is he suspended or some shit?
No, he was injured. He was injured, and then he never came back.
I don't know. Maybe he's still injured. Maybe he's
one person that definitely is not injured, because she didn't seem like she even got hit once in this entire fight. Valentina Shevchenko successfully defended her women's flyweight title against Liz Carmouche, finally getting redemption for one of her earlier losses in her career. The only loss to somebody outside of Amanda Nunes, she put on a hell of a performance. I mean, I don't know if you even say that. I don't know. She didn't really put on a hell of a performance. More that Liz Carmouche didn't really do anything.
There are level to this shit, and I feel that Liz Carmouche is not on that level, and that's it. I feel that the likes of Valentina and Amanda Nunes right now are on their prime, and there's no other girl who are in their prime right now. So I don't feel that. I feel that they should just fight 5 or 6 times, Valentina and Amanda, and that's it. Who gives a shit about the other girls right now? I really feel that.
So you really don't want to see Valentina versus anybody else at this point?
No, hell no. I was against this fight, and I'm against the next fight. I don't even know what's the next fight, but I'm against it. that's how I feel, brother. I really feel that way.
Crucial.
Yeah. What do you feel? What do you think? Do you think Valentina?
To see Caitlin Kilkagian.
Yeah, that will be a good fight. But I don't know. I feel that she's on another level.
Valentina is very, very good, and she just keeps proving that. I've been saying it forever. As soon as they opened this flyweight division, she was gonna rule it. So
you're
just seeing what's actually going down.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But that about wraps it up for UFC Uruguay. Me and Wally Wall are going to be right back after a quick station identification. Wally Wall needs to put those back in so everyone doesn't have to hear me in an echo.
Yeah, okay. One sec. Just give me one sec.
And you were listening to MMA Records Radio.
This is UFC light heavyweight Mike Rodriguez. And go listen to MMA Records Radio right now. Right now.
All right, guys. Joining me at this time is Titan FC's lightweight prospect, Shaheem Santana. Shaheem is taking on Lee Henry Lilly at Titan FC 56 next Friday night. Shaheem, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Randall, thanks for having me on.
No, of course, man. Of course. Anytime.
Nice.
Tell us a little bit about your opponent, Lee Henry Lilly.
There's not a lot I know about the guy. Like, I know of him, if you fight on the Florida regional scene, you know of the Lilly brothers. They're pretty well known. They're all around good. He's a Muay Thai fighter, mostly. Likes to throw bombs. He likes to throw bombs. He'll shoot every now and then, but he's pretty much in the center of the cage, ready to take your head off. So that's what I'm expecting.
Well, you definitely go in there and look for the finish. You have four finishes in your career, 1 second round, 3 first rounds. Tell me, is it something that you go in there and look for a finish?
Of course. Like, that's how I fight. I'm trying to finish the entire time. There's no game plan, no, like, oh, I should do this, I should do that. No, man, I go in there, and if I'm standing and I can finish it with a knockout, I'm going to knock you out. And if it just so happens to go to the ground, then I guess you're going to get submitted, because I'm looking for the finish. I don't want to see the judges ever.
Now, you talked about you don't really game plan a whole lot. Do you watch any tape on your opponents?
I've seen footage of this guy. Like, I saw the last fight that he had, the 5-round fight against Haush Manfiel for the title. And it was a pretty close decision. I felt like it could have gone either way. The house started to pull off in the 5th round. But, I can't speak bad about the guy. He's a good fighter.
Do you feel you hold any advantages on the feet or on the ground grappling-wise overly?
I think so. I think I'm more technical. He's more relying on his power. And I'm just a specialist at just getting you out of there.
Now, looking at your record, I would say it's safe to say that you're a submission specialist, but you also like to stand and bang also, correct?
For sure. Not necessarily stand and bang, but I pick you apart.
So you're not trying to let me bang, bro?
Yeah, no, none of that.
So there's no bare knuckle boxing in your future?
No, I don't think so. I don't think my girl would like that too much. Those guys get a little beat up, and their faces are all kind of fucked up after.
Yeah, definitely. But to be clear, you are far from a point fighter.
Yes, far from a point fighter. That's not me at all, and I'll never be that type of fighter. I'm straight to the point, want to get in there and get out.
Now, your last fight was at Titan FC 54 against Marco Simmons. You came out of that fight victorious. It was your longest professional bout. Tell me, what did you learn from the whole experience?
I learned to just be a little bit more patient. I kind of like got in the fight. I threw a couple shots and it turned into a clinch battle. And I don't know, it felt more like a street fight to me other than like an MMA fight. And I never really had a dominant position to work my ground and pound or anything like that. I was able to get a Darce choke, but I made some mistakes and I wasn't able to finish the choke there, and he took advantage and was in a pretty good position the whole entire first round, just on top of me. So it was bad. I mean, but my fight IQ is really good, so I was able to pull out of there and finish him in the second.
Now, what do you contribute your high fight IQ to?
Just being like a MMA purist, just watching as much MMA as I can, street fighting, amateur fights, professional fights, glory kickboxing, taekwondo fights, anything I can get my hands on, I'm watching it.
So if I were to ask you, Shaheem, give me your favorite UFC fight of all time, what would it be?
I know it's a tough one. Yeah. This is not one of my favorites, but I really enjoyed the Mark DeCasey versus Nasrat Haqparast.
Yes.
That was a really good fight. It showed that Nasrat's a hell of a fighter, because Mark DeCasey is
no slouch, no way.
And he was throwing heat in that first round.
He's very elusive, too. You don't know where he's coming from.
Exactly. So, yeah, he causes problems for anybody he'd fight. And Nasrat was able to, I think he finished him.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think he finished him.
No, Nasrat has looked very impressive since joining the UFC. I mean, he's looked impressive his entire career. And he's had a really good camp behind him, too.
Yeah, TriStar. TriStar's a great camp.
I mean, GSP, Frost or Hobby, all those guys in your corner.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong there.
Now, we speak about great camps, and you're in a very good camp for your era, the Freestyle Fighting Academy. You have Titan FC's featherweight champion, their current featherweight champion, Jason Suarez, training with you. Tell me what it's like to have somebody like that in a gym with you every single day.
Man, I can't say enough good things about the guy. He's an amazing training partner, and he pushes me to the limits, you know? I've never been pushed like that by anybody. Obviously, I haven't trained anywhere else, but the guy's a beast, and he definitely helps me, you know, build my game. So I contribute a lot to him.
Now, the Freestyle Fighting Academy has been your home since your entire career at this point. Tell me what brought you there.
Watching MMA, I started watching MMA, and I was like, man, I can do this. I love the sport. I know how to do everything. I went on Google, looked up MMA gyms in Miami, and it's the first one I saw, and I walked in, and, you know, I never looked back. I went to the gym, and once I got there, they were like, have you trained before? And I was like, no, I just watch a lot of YouTube.
Now, like you say, you're a purist. If you could go back in time and fight anybody that has been on the UFC roster, who would it be?
If I can go back in time and fight anybody?
Yes, no matter what the weight classes.
You talking about an easy fight for me?
I'm talking about a dream fight for you.
Oh, man, you know what? I think James Vick and I would have a really good fight, since we're both pretty tall for 155, and he's a finisher as well.
Yes.
So that would be a no-nonsense fight.
Well, James Vick is actually talking about moving up to welterweight at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he could. He's 6'3".
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's kind of big. And I feel like he could put on some weight and he can hold his own in welterweight. But, yeah, that would be a good fight, I think. I think I can beat him.
So when did you start watching MMA?
Man, I can't even tell you. Probably at the age of 14, maybe.
Do you remember how you were introduced?
By myself. I just always like fighting. Like, I grew up fighting. I have an older brother. He's like 3 years older than me.
I get it. And same thing.
Yeah, right there. He's beating me up all my life, so I gotta learn to toughen up. You can't go crying to mommy.
Well, see, that was the thing. Like, I don't have any like formal training, but I have brothers, so I know how to fight. And like, my brothers were always bigger than me, so my only advantage would be grappling, because once you get them on the ground, we're all the same size.
Yeah, for a while he was whooping my ass, but eventually me learning some stuff, it's like, it's no competition anymore. But he definitely helped me out there, so thank you, bro.
No, for sure. Shazam, where'd you get your nickname?
I don't know. It was before the movie came out, so it wasn't like I'm biting off the movie. No, but I do like the character, the DC character, and I feel like it flows with my name, Shaheen Shazam Santana.
Yeah.
And I'm in there and out, like, bam, Shazam.
Did you see the DC movie?
No, I actually haven't seen the movie yet.
It's actually not that bad.
It looks good. Like, from when I saw the previews and stuff, it looks good. I got to watch it with my son.
Definitely. How old are your boys?
My boy is 4 years old. I have a four-year-old boy, and I have a six-month-old daughter.
That's right, daughter. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
Tell me, what has it been like for you to kind of juggle the whole family life and being a fighter?
It's good so far. It's not the easiest of things, you know, juggling between a job, because fighting's not paying any fucking bills. But so my job is between a job, coming home, spending a little bit of time with the family, and then going straight to the gym, and then having notes. Basically, it's a routine. Work, home for a little bit, gym, come home, shower, sleep, and then right back to it. Same thing.
So are you going to be watching the fights this Saturday, UFC 241?
For sure. I watch every single fight. Me and my friends, me and two of my friends, we're always, not for any type of money, but we always pick, like, from the first fight to the last fight, we have our picks, and we just do, like, a fun little
pretend game. Shoot me a sleeper pick. Maybe not somebody in the main card. Who do you feel is a sleeper in the prelims?
A sleeper, Corey Sanhagen versus Rafael Sanhagen.
A very good pick. Corey Sanhagen is a young man.
He's the favorite, but I think that Asunciel should be the favorite. I mean, he's been in the game longer. He's been ranked for way longer.
And his strength of opponent is very high compared to Sanhagen.
Yeah, compared to Sanhagen. But Sanhagen is, I think 6 inches taller. He has a lot of problems for Asuncion. I'm not saying that Asuncion can't win, but I feel like that's the sleeper fight.
I definitely feel like Asuncion is the future of the bantamweight division. Or sorry, I'm also, Sanhagen.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to the Sadiq Youssef fight. Yes. He fights out of Lloyd Irvin's. Yeah, he's an amazing fighter. I like watching him fight, and he's fighting Mowgli Benitez.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about that Jacaro Close fight earlier, too.
Oh, yeah, Jacaro Close is fighting Christos Giagos.
Yes. And yeah, then,
he edges out that one.
Yeah, and then Manny Bermudez. We've had Manny Bermudez on the show. He's fighting Casey Kennedy. We have Casey Kennedy on earlier.
I think Bermudez takes that one.
No, I'm excited about that one. That one is very, very, very quietly could be fight of the night.
Yes. Those guys definitely give it their all, especially I've seen Casey Kennedy's last fights. I think he lost the fight before last, it was.
No, he lost his – he's on like a 6-fight win streak at this point. He lost his second fight at the Contender Series. That was his last loss.
Okay, that's what I saw. Yeah, but it was
he went away to LFA for like 5 fights, and he went and knocked out some wins after that.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a great fight.
No, definitely. The one that definitely gives me goosebumps, though, is Paulo Costa, Yoel Romero. Yoel is, I mean, he's like a genetic freak that they built inside Superman. Of a lab. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If there's a final stage of a video game, it's Yoel Romero is the boss.
Yeah, but you could also say the same about Paulo Costa.
It's like a little miniature younger version.
Yeah. I think that the Yoel's wrestling will be able to, you know, switch the tide, I guess, of the fight, and he'll be able to pick it up more.
That we really haven't seen what Paulo Costa's cardio is like.
Exactly, when he's losing, because I've never, it's like Tyson, you know, Tyson was a killer and he would kill, but Tyson never overcame adversity. When someone started beating him, he would lose, or he would
chew your ear off. Connor's the same way. Connor really has never overshown adversity a whole lot in his career, but he's very good when he's on.
Yeah. I mean, I saw some of that in the Chad Mendes fight.
A little bit in the Diaz fight, too.
Yeah.
But outside of that, he sparked everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if that's really his fault or more of a product of opponent, but hey. Now, how excited are you to finally get back in the cage next week, man?
I'm super excited, you know, a little nervous. I'm always nervous before fights. I'm not the type of guy to say, oh, I'm going to fucking take his head off and I'm going to do all this. No, like, I have nerves like any other normal person. I think I'm just a normal average guy outside of the cage. And in the cage, I'm just a finisher. So I'm going to be looking to kick his ass inside the cage. But outside of the cage, I'm a little bit more relaxed.
No, definitely. Tell me, what are some of the keys to victory for next Friday night?
You know, stay long. If we happen to grapple, I feel like I beat him everywhere. I beat him everywhere grappling. I just have to stay long and be careful for the power shots. You know, everybody has a puncher's chance, especially with those tiny little gloves. I can get caught behind the ear, caught in the chin. It happens. If I get knocked out, whatever. I come home, my family still loves me, and nothing changes. I get back to the drawing board, and I'm still a fighter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, definitely. Would you like to get another fight in before the end of the year?
I think so. Like, maybe sometime during December. I'm not trying to fight, like, right after this card, because I have a couple things going on I got to take care of.
Are you in any rush to get to the UFC, or you just kind of want to take it as it goes?
Yeah, I'm just going to take it as it goes. Like, I see that happen with a lot of guys, like guys that can be like 5-0, 6-0, and then they get to the top tier level, and man, you lose 4 fights in a row. They give you 4 killers, and you're 6-4, and your record's not looking so nice. So I want to take it slow and really know, like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, because once you get in the UFC, there's no easy fight.
Yeah, it used to be like that back in the day. Like, I don't know if you remember the season of The Ultimate Fighter that Nate Diaz was on.
Oh, yes.
They had Andy Wang. I was like, I'll fight that guy.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of us who would fight Andy Wang. I mean, even in a couple of the past seasons, I mean, there's a couple guys on there like, I might be able to go a couple rounds with Tickle.
Totally, bro.
Now,
yeah, there's no easy pickings in the UFC nowadays.
Especially in your weight class, man. 155, the King, like Khabib. It's just everywhere from top to bottom, even outside, you know, in other organizations. It's such a killer's row. Does something along the lines of PFL interest you?
Of course, like $1 million, who doesn't that interest?
Exactly, and that's the name of the game, right? You're going in there to make money, right?
Yes, sir. That's definitely the name of the game. It's not what I got in the sport for, but it would definitely be a big kick in the ass to get me fucking going.
No, for sure. I know you're super busy, brother. You're probably in between training sessions and getting to spend a little time with your family, so I don't want to take any more of your time. But before I let you go, I want to give you a quick opportunity to give a shout out to your sponsors, loved ones, or anyone that's helped you out along your MMA journey.
I just wanted to shout out my team, FFA, Freestyle Fighting Academy, all my teammates there. They know who they are. My coaches, my head coaches, Master Marcos Avalon and Master David Avalon. Shout out to them. And my sponsors, Dynamic Wellness. They're a health and mental and health institute. They'll help you with anything from cupping, rehab, blood work. Anything you need that has to do with your health, they can help you out. And First Round Management, man, they've taken care of me pretty well. They're the best management team around, and I like to thank them. They're awesome.
There you guys hear it from the horse himself, Shaheem Santana, taking on Lee Henry Lilly, Titan FC 56. That is next Friday on the UFC Fight Pass. Shaheem, good luck next Friday, man, and we're pulling for you.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to pull out the finish and, you know, get some more promotion out of this. And you guys will be seeing more of me in the future. Just no need for the shit talking. Just watch what I'll do in the cage.
Definitely, man. And we look forward to getting you back on the show after you go out there and finish Lee Henry Lilly.
Thank you, brother. I look forward to it.
Excellent, man. You have a good one.
Take it easy.
This is Muhammad the Motor Usman, and you're listening to MMA Records Radio.
And welcome right back to MMA Records Radio. Wally Wall and I are going to be breaking it down. UFC 241. Super excited for this one. It is headlined by Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic. Finally, we're going to get the rematch that we have all been waiting a year for. It's going down in Anaheim, California at the Honda Center. Super excited for this one. But one sec. You guys all remember when I told you about a month ago that the UFC needs to make co-main events 5 rounds. This is another shining example of that. Anthony Pettis is taking on the returning Nate Diaz in the welterweight division, and it's going to be the co-main event of the evening, but unfortunately, it's only going to be 3 rounds. Super excited for that one. Can't wait to watch that. At the very beginning of the card, though, we have the women's flyweight division. We have Sabina Mazo taking on Shayna Dobson. Super excited about that one. Sabina Mazo, the Colombian queen, has looked very, very good since joining the UFC. She's down at the Black House in Huntington Beach. She's training with all those guys. She's becoming a killer down there. It's kind of going to be a homecoming for her. Shayna Dobson is a former, Ultimate Fighter 32? She was on the season where they had all the girls fighting for the flyweight title. Super excited about that fight. Tell
26.
Me.
It's season 26.
Season actually. 26.
She lost against Roxanne. Wonder Fury. She lost against her by TKO. And yeah, that's an exciting fight because both ladies lost their last fight. So I feel that both of them will try to go for that W. So yeah, that's a good way to start the card.
No, definitely. I have to agree with you on that one. The very next fight is Brandon Davis versus Kyung Ho Kang. Fucking really looking forward to that one. Killer B Brandon Davis won his last fight against Randy Costa at UFC 239. But before that, he put on a phenomenal performance against Zabit Magomedsharipov. If you do remember, that's where Zabit had him in the knee bar from hell. It ended up winning the submission of the year. Yeah. Kung Ho Kang is 15-8. This is his like ninth fight in the UFC. He has won 4 of his last 5. He lost at UFC 227 to Ricardo Ramos by split decision. So he hasn't really been, you know, handled in the UFC, as you could say. He's had 1 no contest for a failed drug test. He has 1 loss by unanimous decision and 1 loss by split decision. So it's not like guys are going out there and, you know, running through him. This should be a very exciting fight to
Yeah, in the featherweight division, it will be a great fight. Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, Hannah Seifer is going to be taking on Jody Escobel. Hannah Seifer is, 1-1 since joining the UFC? She lost to Macy Barber in her very first fight, and then she went in and just took out Pollyanna Viana at UFC 235. And if you guys do not remember, that is where the true welterweight champion was crowned. I just want to point that one out real quick. Jody Espel, although has lost, 4 of her last 5. This could really be the defining moment in her UFC career. If she does not get past Hannah Seifer on Saturday night, this could very well be her very last fight in the octagon.
Yeah, but come on. When you see, like, her 5 losses, when you see her 5, the names she lost to, like, Alex Chambers, Alexa Grasso,
you could say the same exact
Carolina,
thing about
Aguilar,
Cassagano.
Angela Hill. Yeah, come on. So, I kind of, you know, it's kind of sad for her to have that MMA record because some ladies had it easy, but she didn't have it easy. So I don't feel that she needs to get cut for losing this fight particularly. Maybe she needs maybe a chance or two after this fight. If she lost, of course, if she wins, then she don't need any chances.
Now, that is the main fight for the UFC Fight Pass portion of the UFC 241 card. The next fight on the card is Jacaro Close taking on Cristiano Giannos. Yeah. And Jacaro Close, obviously, has been on a wrecking ball since joining the UFC. He's only had the 1 loss. That was against David Tamar at UFC 218. But besides that, he's been perfect in his UFC career and perfect throughout his fighting career. He took out Bobby Green in his last fight. He's beaten Lando Venato. He's beaten other big names like Mark DeCasey. Mark DeCasey's the one fighter that really made me open my eyes about this young man. And really, I mean, he's 31, sorry, I shouldn't say young man. Really opened my eyes about him, and he really proved that he's a threat in this division. His opponent, though, Cristiano Giannos, is 2-1 since joining the UFC. His UFC debut was against Charles Oliveira, so don't hold that against him.
Yeah.
Again, though, he's lost to some big names. Gilbert Burns back in the day when he fought in the UFC. He lost to Josh Emmett in the WFC. So he's got some notable losses in his record. So you can't hold the 7 losses against him. Like Waleed was saying, the strength of competition has been very strong for Cristiano. So this should be a very good stepping stone for Jacaro Close.
Yeah, I feel that Cristos, his loss against Charles Oliveira is when Charles Oliveira break the record of submission. I'm not sure about this one, but I feel that it was that one because I kind of remember him. I remember his last 2 fights. The Spartan looked very, very good, but the Close looked very dangerous, and when his last 2 fights were against 2 very good fighters, and I feel that he will get another win.
I feel like the wrestling is going to be too much. I feel like Jacaro Close's wrestling, the wrestling credentials that he has and he brings into the octagon with him, are just going to be overwhelming for him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, the very next fight, Manny Bermudez is taking on Casey Kinney. Now, this is a hell of a fight in this bantamweight division. Do not close your eyes. This is going to be a good one. Manny Bermudez is completely undefeated, 14-0. We've had him on the card. Casey Kinney is going to be on this episode later. Super excited about this one, man. Kinney, another one of those guys who came through Dana White Contender Series. He did not get his contract on the show, though. He had to go do some work outside. He came back, had his UFC debut after he had a fight the week before that. He fought Ray Borg. He was successful in that fight. And now he is here in a full camp at a new division up against Manny Bermudez this time. See what he's going to bring to the table. Super excited for this one. Whoever wins this fight is going to be skyrocketed in the bantamweight division.
Yeah. Do you feel that maybe Kenny, after winning his last fight against Ray Borg, like have a slight advantage because he fought against someone like who was a title contender at some point?
Maybe. Strength of opponent is definitely a big, important thing. I mean, if you look at some of the guys that Manny Bermudez has fought, Benito Lopez, Davy Grant, Albert Morales, even though all those guys are great, they are not quite at the level of Ray Borg. So when you look at the strength of competition, yes, Casey Kenney has had a tougher matches in the UFC. And even more remarkable about that fight is he won after having a fight the week before that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, I agree with you. We will see, we will see. But I don't know, if you have to pick a winner, who will you pick? From between two guys we had on the show.
Yeah, I can't pick between them. yeah, I don't know, man.
Tough decision. Yeah, it's a tough fight to get a pick. Yeah, I agree with you.
Let me tell you what, the guy with the two N's in his name is gonna win.
Oh, okay. yeah, that's very clear.
Now, the next fight, Corey Sandhagen is going to be taking on Rafael Assuncao. Rafael Assuncao has pretty much stayed on top of that bantamweight division pretty much since he's entered it. Corey Sandhagen is one of those guys who is an up-and-comer. He's 11-1, perfect in his UFC career, which is a 4-0 complete perfect record. His last fight, he beat John Lineker by split decision. John Lineker is a man who, like Assuncao, has been a staple in this bantamweight division for years. Corey Sandhagen looks to be taking out another bantamweight legend as he takes on Rafael Assuncao, coming off a loss, which we haven't seen since 2016.
Yeah, and another Brazilian. I think that he's killing all the old Brazilian in this bantamweight division. And we will see if he will kill, he will get another name or not. We will see.
Super excited about that fight. Up next, we have Kama Worthy stepping in on short notice to take on Devontae Smith. This fight materialized just only a couple days ago, folks. We were able to get Kama to come on the show. Thank you for giving us your time, brother. We really appreciate that. Super excited to see this young man. He's an animal. I've watched a lot of his highlights, and he's going to be bringing it to Devontae Smith here on Saturday night.
Yeah, and Devontae Smith is another fighter coming from the Dana White Contender Series, right?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, those fighters coming from the Contender Series are very dangerous. And since his fight in the Contender Series, which he won in the first round by KO.
Huge elbows,
yeah, yes. He won two times by finishes in the first round.
All of his UFC fights have been in the first round finishes.
Yeah, so it's a very, very dangerous fight. I feel that both fighters will go for the kill. So, you shouldn't blink watching this fight. That's all I have to say.
Listen, with all the hype around the co-main event, this one could be the fight of the night.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. We may see the knockout of the night, or yeah, one of them will get a bonus, I feel.
Now, we have Ian Heinisch in the very next fight taking on Derek Brunson. Super excited about that one. I have Heinisch getting the victory here on this one. I haven't been too impressed with Brunson. I feel like he's the type of guy where he's a stepping stone in that middleweight division. What about you, Waleed?
Yeah, I agree with you. For me, it's a game. You teach me that, that's a gate holder. I feel like he can hold the gates. Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and I wasn't really impressed by the way he fought against Israel Adesanya. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Definitely. Gabriel Benitez is taking on Sadiq Youssef in the very next fight. Sadiq Youssef is another Nigerian going in there and just dominating guys. I mean, this African wave of fighters that we have coming in is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think he's not the last one who will come from Africa, and I feel that he may be one of the most dangerous African right now in the UFC, and I feel that he will get that W.
Oh, he's a featherweight that hits you like he's a goddamn welterweight.
Yeah, that's what we have in Africa.
Now, in one of the most anticipated matchups in the middleweight division in years, we have Yoel Romero taking on Paulo Costa. This is one hell of a fight, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what. Paulo Costa has been completely undefeated throughout his career. He's looked phenomenal since joining the UFC. And Yoel Romero is, well, Yoel Romero.
He is Yoel Romero. Since it's a three-round fight, do you think that Yoel Romero should directly go for the takedown in the first one just to slow Paulo Costa down?
I think Paulo Costa's cardio is really untested, and I think that's the one thing that Yoel Romero needs to be paying attention to.
Yeah, but Romero, we always criticize his cardio, but we saw him go to five-round wars against Robert Whittaker.
Twice.
And you know, yeah, and Robert Whittaker's cardio is pretty amazing, so I don't think that Paulo Costa in three round will be very dangerous, like, talking just about cardio against Yoel Romero. So, I mean, I don't know. I would go with Yoel Romero. For me, Yoel Romero, there's only Robert Whittaker who can beat him in this division, but I don't know. Who knows? Who do you think is going to win?
I think Paulo Costa is a younger version of Yoel Romero, and I think that Paulo Costa gets the victory here on Saturday night.
I think Yoel Romero will put him to sleep. I really feel that.
Now, returning Nate Diaz is going to be stepping into the welterweight division one more time, taking on Anthony Showtime Pettis, and this is one hell of a co-main event, guys. Let me tell you what.
And it's not in the lightweight division. This is a welterweight. Yeah, it's a welterweight. So this is, first, there's two things to say before, you know, before all the fight. It's in the welterweight division, and it's only a three-round fight. So what do you think? Do you think that is good for Nate? Is it bad for Nate? Is it good for Anthony?
I think it's good for Nate that it's only a three-round fight, not a five-round fight. I think him coming off the layoff, I think a three-round fight makes more sense than obviously going through a five-round war. Pettis, I think, is one hell of an opponent. I think with a win over somebody like Nate, it really elevates him in both the lightweight and welterweight division.
Yeah,
a win-win on both sides. He's already taken out Showtime. Now he's going to have another victory in the welterweight division, although it is to somebody who's only fought at the welterweight division once against somebody who's naturally a featherweight / lightweight.
So both fighters are black belts. So yes. Do you think the fight will go to the ground? Or not?
Yeah, no, 100%. Anthony Showtime's Pettis coach Duke Rufus was on the Ariel Helwani show this Monday, and he said he guarantees it goes to the round.
Oh, okay. I like that. No, I like someone who's confident like that. Yeah, but do you think, because you said that Nate Diaz is a good thing for him to go, that this fight is a three-round fight, but, you know, the Diaz brothers start slow, and, you know, I think that Nate will lose the first round.
Listen,
because he starts Nate's slow. What do you think?
Nate's a triathlete. I don't think that he's ever going to be gassed. I don't think that there's ever going to be any pressure when it comes to his cardio. I just think it's just going to be being in an actual fight with the lights on bright, anxiety, shit like that.
Do we think we will have a finish in this fight?
I don't think we have a finish. I think we see all three rounds. We see the judges' scorecards. I believe it's going to be in the way of Nate. I believe it could be similar to what we saw, what happened with Michael Johnson.
Yeah, because Anthony Pettis' last fight was against Wonderboy, right? And he knocked him out.
Yeah, but Wonderboy was lighting him up during that fight. And it wasn't until that one big, I believe it was right hand off the cage, that really took Wonderboy out.
Yeah, so if you have a winner for this fight?
Nate Diaz, by decision.
Okay, you know what? I will go with Anthony Pettis and by a finish. I don't know which round, but I will say that.
Submission or TKO?
I don't know why.
TKO.
Yeah, no, by KO or TKO. But I will root for Nate Diaz, but I don't know. I feel that Anthony Pettis, like, is too dangerous for him, but I don't know.
It's his time right now.
Yeah, I feel that it's his time. I feel that he looked good in the welterweight division.
Now, the heavyweight champion of the world, DC, is going to be taking on the longest reigning heavyweight champion that we've ever seen, Stipe Miocic. Stipe finally gets his title rematch that he has been begging for over a year. Do you think it was okay for the UFC to make Stipe wait this long? Do you think Stipe should have possibly taken another fight? How do you feel? What's your stance on the whole situation?
I feel that I understand the UFC and I understand Stipe, because Stipe, yeah, he's right. He didn't have to fight another fight because it was too risky. What if they gave him, I don't know, the Black Beast or another dude and he lost? So he didn't have to fight for the belt after that. And, you know, and the UFC, I understand, because they wanted Brock Lesnar against DC, because even DC wanted to fight against Brock Lesnar. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see both sides. I think both sides are right. So, yeah, and listen, Stipe have the fight he wanted, so I don't see where's the problem.
No, definitely. How do you see this fight playing out? Do you think it's any different than UFC 226?
Hell yes. I feel that this fight will go to decision. I don't feel that we will have a finish in this fight. I feel that we will have another, like a whole other version of Stipe in this fight. Like Stipe, yeah, it's not the same thing. He got caught, okay, it's the heavyweight division. If you get caught, you get knocked out cold. Like if it was in the lightweight division, it wouldn't have happened that way maybe. But in the heavyweight division, this is how it is. So this time, I feel that Stipe will be more careful. I feel that Stipe would be maybe even more dangerous, but I don't feel that it will be enough for him to win against the DC.
I think the keys to victory for DC, obviously, as we've seen in the last fight, the clinch is super important. But I think the takedowns, I think he's going to have to work that wrestling. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in this fight, and we're going to see him really prove that he is one of the more dominant heavyweights. I really feel like with a victory over Stipe Miocic, DC cements himself as one of the baddest heavyweights of all time.
I agree with you, and maybe DC is even the best heavyweight of all time, because, you know, we didn't see...
I'm going to go with DC.
I would go with DC too, but by decision. You go with the finish or by decision?
A finish, I don't know how, and I don't know when, but it's going to be a finish. It's going to be DC, maybe in the later rounds, third, fourth, fifth.
And if DC wins against Stipe, do you feel that we need to have DC against John Jones in heavyweight, at the heavyweight division?
Honestly, bro, if DC wins, I could see him retiring.
You don't want to see John Jones against DC at a heavyweight?
I don't say that I didn't want to see it. I'm just saying what I honestly see happening is I see DC retiring if he wins.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want him to retire. I feel that he can still have one or two fights.
No, definitely. Super excited for this one. UFC 241 Anaheim. ESPN Plus pay-per-view, guys. Order it now. Trust me, you are not going to want to miss this one. It is stacked from top to bottom. Looking forward to it. Wally Wall will be watching it. Can't wait, man.
Can't wait, brother. For the Diaz, bro. For the Diaz fighting. For your Romero, for DC. Listen, man, this is a great card.
This is one hell of a card, guys. It's super stacked. Stay tuned. We have some more MMA Wreckage Radio, guys. As always, quick station identification, and we'll be right back.
This is Alexander the Great Hernandez. You listen to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, joining me at this time is the UFC's bantamweight contender, Casey Kinney. How you doing today, Casey?
Man, doing great. Just kind of around for the morning and going to enjoy this beautiful day.
Now, the fight has been made. It's UFC 241, Cormier versus Miocic. It's a huge card. Your opponent is Manny Bermudez. Tell me, did you ask to be put on this card, or how did everything come about?
It's good, you know. Main, I was asking to this card, not necessarily specifically the magnitude of this card. Every UFC fighter on the roster, you know, just happened to be Manny Bez, and that was the first opponent that they threw at me, and you know, no questions asked, I'm down to fight anyone.
How do you feel like this fight between Manny and yourself is going to play out?
I think it's going to be a good one, man. You know, obviously his record and his submission skills speak for itself, but I think he's got a lot of holes in his overall MMA game. And, you know, I consider myself as one of the most complete mixed martial artists to walk the earth right now. So, you know, I think that's what I do. I go in and I, you know, expose some of those holes. And, you know, my grappling, I've been having people trying to choke me since I've been 6 years old. So I feel pretty confident in my grappling, my submission defense.
You talked about some of the holes that Bermudez brings to the table. What are some of the positives that he has in his game?
You know, like I said, he's got a dangerous submission. He's got pretty good pressure. You know, he's got a good right hand. But, you know, we're in 2019, man. You know, this is the time that mixed martial arts is at its peak of, you know, like the fighters being complete mixed martial artists. And, you know, I think, you know, he had a few tough opponents and they made, you know, little mistakes in that fight. And, you know, that's the name of the game at this level, though. Don't make that little mistake.
Now, you were training full-time at Rise Combat Sports, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you guys have anybody over there at Rise, or did you guys bring anybody in that kind of mimic Manny's style?
You know, I got a bunch of good training partners. You know, everybody at Rise Combat Sports, you know, Chris Carriasso, he's been around the block forever, you know, doing all that. Got some good submission guys over there. I have a friend, Kyle Ragis. He's got about 10, I think, guillotine wins. I went and trained with him in Las Vegas for a short week. Got some training partners at the MMA lab that are pretty high-level jiu-jitsu and grappling. And so I got a lot of really good looks of, you know, submission guys.
How do you see this fight on Saturday night playing out between you and Manny?
I'm going to put this dude away. Round one, two, or three, doesn't matter. You know, if he survives the onslaught and survives the punishment I'm putting on him, you know, I think I'm going to drown him in deep waters.
Now, this is your first full camp to be able to adjust to the 135-pound division. How has it been on your body to be able to just be able to fill out a little more and be ready for this division?
Man, it was great. Sorry, someone was trying to call me. it's great, man. It's honestly, you know, exactly what I wanted. I wanted to take a little bit of time to, you know, kind of just let my body become a bantamweight. You know, I felt like I didn't really need to put on a whole lot of size. Like, I just needed to let my body grow. You know, I felt like I was always kind of sucking it back down to get back down to flyweight. So this whole camp, you know, I was sitting 8 to 10 pounds heavier throughout camp than I normally do, and that's right where I need to be.
So I'm guessing it's safe to say the weight cut's going pretty easy. How you feeling right about now?
Oh, I'm feeling great, man. You know, I just woke up, I think like 6 pounds over. You know, easy weight cut. Enjoying life, man. You know, I ran into James Krause in the elevator. You know, he's like, that's why I'm at 170, man. Quality of life. You know, I've been doing this a long time, been cutting weight a long time, and you know, I still got to obviously cut a little bit of weight, but I think bantamweight's it's my weight class, man.
Yeah, waking up a couple days before only weighing 8 pounds more sounds a lot better than 18 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
So in your last three fights, you've had a little bit of controversy. I wouldn't really say controversy, but you've had some opponent changes, and then you had two short notice fights in LFA and then in your UFC debut. What's it been like to just focus on one guy?
It's been nice, dude. Definitely in the fight game, you know, you got to be ready for whatever. Definitely the last three fights, you know, Royval was a new opponent a week out. You know, obviously Vince and Borg, I didn't really even have time to think about them too much. But
yeah, totally. Your Borg fight was like on a week's notice. Tell me, what's it been like to just be able to focus on one man, Manny Bermudez?
Yep. So I got a call Monday morning for the Borg fight. Monday afternoon, actually. So. And then there was like a week out for the Cachero fight. So those were both really, really short notice. So it's been great, man. You know, it's you know, everything that I've ever wanted to kind of get in there and have a full camp in the UFC and, you know, be fully prepared.
It had to have been a crazy couple 24, 48 hours for you after you had the huge knockout in LFA and you got the Ray Borg phone call. Tell me, how was that whole situation like for you?
Man, it was really, I didn't really have time to process the knockout because, you know, I was trying to enjoy it that weekend. And then, you know, the phone call came from Borg and it was like, holy shit, you know, I'm going to make my UFC debut. So that was it was pretty cool, man. It was a surreal experience, and I don't think I'll ever get to fight back-to-back weekends again. So I chalked that one up in the book and get where I need to go, and now I'm looking to take over the division.
Now, you're one of the individuals who's fought on the Contender Series twice. You lost your second fight. Tell me what that did for you as a fighter.
At the time, it was, it was a big hit to my heart, everything I had going. But honestly, I think it was the best thing for my career. Here I am 5, 6, 7 fights later. I think I was 7-0-1 at that time, so here we are, 6 fights later. And I think I'm a completely different fighter. I'm in a different weight class. I really like the way I came in, coming in off of the first ever LFA champ, and highlight reel knockout, doesn't get much cleaner than that. And then I come in on short notice to take out a guy who fought for the title last. That's the way I wanted to come in the UFC, with a big bang. And I feel like those couple decisions on the Contender Series, they were great fights, they were awesome fights, but I feel like I really like the way I came in instead, and gave me a little time to fix some holes, change some things in my camp, and I got the perfect formula now.
Now, this card, UFC 241, is stacked from top to bottom, bro. Tell me some of the fights that you are looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, of course, dude. I want to see that Sandhagen and Sun Tzu. Obviously, they're top guys in my division, one of my friends, Jakar Close, is right after me. I've been staying at his house up in Phoenix. When I go up to Phoenix, once or twice a week to train over at the lab.
The new house that him and Courtney Casey just got.
Yep. So.
Yeah, we just had Courtney Casey on the show a couple weeks ago. We've had her on a couple times now.
Okay. Yep. Courtney and Jakar. Yep. So they've been awesome this camp, helping me. Have a place to stay in Phoenix when I go up there. So that was really great. Obviously, looking forward to see his fight. And then, the whole pay-per-view is, pretty exciting. And obviously top three, I'm going to be back there in the green room as a fight fan right after I fight. I've been a huge fight fan for a while now, even before I started fighting, back in the Matt Hughes, BJ Penn era. I was watching all of that, so I'm gonna go do my thing, and then I'm gonna sit back, enjoy life, and become a fight fan.
Now, how do you see the three major fights at UFC 241 playing out? We have a huge fight with Paulo Costa and Yoel Romero. We have the returning Nate Diaz versus Anthony Pettis, which is going to be amazing. And then we have the main event, the heavyweight title fight, DC fighting Stipe Miocic for the second time. How do you see those three fights playing out?
Yeah. Obviously all those are going to, anything could happen, but I think I'm going to pick Acosta. I think he's just a little younger version of Romero, Nothing against Romero, but Acosta's he's a tank. And I'm going to go with Diaz in the co-main event. How can you not like a guy that sparks up a joint at open workouts, man? In all seriousness, though, I think he cut his pressure, man. His pressure is boxing. He breaks a lot of people, and Pettis is as high a level as it comes, and he's coming off that knockout with Wonder Boy. But I just think Diaz kind of puts it on him and finishes him in the later rounds. And then I think I'm going to go with Cormier on the main event, man. Love Stipe, but I think that coming from 205 to heavyweight, Cormier's just a little more agile, a little quicker. Something that Stipe, I think, is not really used to. And that may have been, the case for the last fight. Obviously, hit him with that little punch in the clinch, but, that's just... The transition is a little bit different at lighter weight classes than the heavyweight. I think 205 is something that has helped Daniel kind of become quicker and better in that transition, if that kind of makes sense.
Now, you talk about DC being stronger and faster at this weight class. Is that kind of the same thing that you're looking for as you move up to the 135-pound division?
Right, exactly. No, I think my speed, my transitions are just, you know, the flyweight speed is different than, you know, any other weight class. So kind of this, you know, similar to when anybody that moves up a weight class, you know, you're going to take some of the things that you do well at the lower weight class and try to bring it up.
Now, are we staying at bantamweight or are we going to eventually move back to flyweight?
Yeah, man, I want to stay at bantamweight. You know, I could probably make flyweight if I needed to. So if they're throwing like a $1 million tournament out there or something crazy for flyweight, you know, something super special, I may want to dabble around in there. But bantamweight's hot right now, man. You know, it's a hot division, and I want to be on the top of one of the best divisions in the UFC. You know, not a division that's kind of just hanging in there.
Now, we know what you're like inside the cage. Tell us what you're like outside of the cage, Casey.
Man, I'm a pretty laid-back guy. You know, nice guy. I like to hang out, have a good time. You know, pretty normal guy, man. I spend most of my time at the gym. If I'm not training and stuff, I like to try to, you know, I did a lot of teaching the last few years. Kind of backed off a little bit since March and the Borg fight. Kind of focused on myself a little bit. But, you know, the gym life has pretty much consumed my life for the last, like, 5-6 years. But other than that, man, you know, I'm pretty normal. Hang out, smoke a little weed, normal stuff. Enjoying life.
Well, since you're in California, are you going to be checking out any of the recreational shops out there?
Oh yeah, of course, man. You know, you gotta take advantage of the Bay, or well, not the Bay Area, but the California lifestyle, right?
No, not Northern California, Southern California, man.
Southern California. Yeah, I know.
It's all good, man. Southern California still loves you.
I was thinking the Bay Area, because that's normally where I go head up to San Francisco when I come to Cali. But it's all good, man. You know, the SoCal, NorCal, you're in California, you got to take advantage of it.
Now, you are originally from Indiana. Tell me, what brought you out to Tucson, Arizona?
I had an aunt and uncle who lived in Tucson, actually. And I was kind of looking to, you know, I was on the summer break from college wrestling, and I was ready to just dive headfirst into the MMA world. And, obviously the MMA scene in Arizona, California, you know, was way different than back in the Midwest in Indiana. There wasn't anything really going on in Indiana 7 years ago. So I just upped and moved to Arizona and started to chase a dream. My aunt and uncle happened to be in Tucson, and Chris Carriasso happened to move to Tucson about the same time from the Bay Area. And, we linked up, and it was, you know, the magic started happening. He started teaching me how to throw punches, kicks, and then, you know, that paired pretty well with my grappling base. You know, we've been kicking ass ever since.
How long have you lived in Arizona now?
7 years.
So it's safe to say in 7 years you've gotten pretty used to the summers now?
Yeah, for sure, man. It's a dry heat, but it's still hot. It's still hot.
Do not want to take any more of your time, man. I know it's fight week for you, but I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to your sponsors, loved ones, or anyone that's really helped you along your MMA journey.
Yeah, man. Obviously, Chris Carriasso, Rise Combat Sports, you know, where it all began. We're still doing our thing. And, John Crouch at the MMA Lab brought in those guys for, you know, really like the last 2 or 3 fights, balancing my camp between both. And then Iridium Sports Agency, all those guys taking care of me. You know, they're busting ass this week, too. You definitely don't do this alone, and I'm thankful to have everybody that's around me.
And where can the fans find you on social media?
I'll get CKMMA135 on Twitter and Instagram, and then just Casey Kenny on Facebook.
And there you guys have it, Casey Kenny. Thank you for stopping by and joining us today. I appreciate your time. Can't wait for your fight this weekend, guys. It is UFC 241, Manny Bermudez versus Casey Kenny. I believe it is the second fight on the prelims, so do not miss it. It is on ESPN. Do not miss this fight, guys, because it's going to be one hell of a fight. Casey, thank you again. We can't wait to have you back on the show.
For sure, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good day.
You too.
This is Alexander the Great Hernandez. You listen to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys. This is the end of episode 38. Thank you for joining us one more time. Wally Wall, thank you for being here by my side as always. It's a great night of fights this weekend. Looking forward to them. Cannot wait. Up next, though, we have Jessica Andrade versus Wei Li Zhang. That is actually going to be in 2 weeks, though. So next weekend, there are no fights. The following weekend, they're going to China. Big fights there. Can't wait for that. We will get into that a little more later down the road, though. As always, you can listen to this on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that good shit. If you need any of the latest MMA news, check out MMAwreckage.com. Outside of that, I can't really think of much. Thank you to all of our guests, Shaheen Santana, and then obviously Casey Kinney. Super excited for his fight with Manny Bermudez. Looking forward to it all. What do you got for us, Wally Wall?
Yeah, I have a question about the Nate Diaz fight. Do you know or do you think that Nick Diaz will be at his side? Like, is he eligible to corner him?
I believe so. I don't think he's suspended, is he?
Right now, I don't feel so. Because they tried to give him a fight.
I believe he's able to be in the corner of his brother. We'll see, though. I know Gracie for sure should be in the corner, but you never know with those crazy Diazes.
But, Jay Shields, Gracie, like, come on. Those are killers.
No, for sure, for sure. All right, guys, thank you for joining us this week, and we will be back next week with some more MMA Wreckage Radio.